Okay. So we're discussing yesterday, we were with the transition from yesterday to today, from the other Gemaras to our Gemara. Basically, we're discussing the intrinsic problems with teaching Talmud Sheinu Hagon and why it's compared to a guy who's a throwing stones at Markolis.
You were yesterday?
A little bit here,
Ben. Oh, yeah, right.
So it says, we said like this, is that that a guy he's doing is he's trying to spread the Torah, to teach everyone Torah, to influence people, to show them the beauty of the ideas of the Torah, right? Marbit's Torah, you think what's greater than that? But it turns out he's giving kavod to a fool, and he's taking a guy who's not Hagon, who's not really going to properly represent Torah and not properly pass on the Torah, and he's just giving it in his hands, and that could really harm the Torah. Said in various ways. First of all, the guy could be viewed as a person of Torah, and in fact, he's really a low life. So it's gonna be a chal Hashem. People judge, look at the Torah through the people in the yeshiva, through the people who learn Torah, and he's gonna misrepresent the Torah, and that's gonna be a chal Hashem. And not only that, he could end up turning on the Torah, using the Torah that he gets to attack the Torah and to undermine the Torah. So you're giving him access to the Torah where he has no interest in the thing. And thirdly, we said, is that it misrepresents the whole idea of Torah. It's like he just wants to do it for like an intellectual pursuit, but he doesn't really appreciate what Torah is, truth, proper true system from God. If he would, he'd be following a proper path, but the guy's corrupt. So we said is that you think you are being mechabed the Torah, but it turns out you're really undermining the Torah and hurting the Torah. So he said it's compared to Markolis. It doesn't mean it's really Avodah Zarah. It just means that the guy who throws a rock at Markolis is a guy who's trying to destroy it. He's throwing a rock at the Avodah Zarah to destroy it. But little does he realize that he's actually serving the Avodah Zarah, because that's the manner of serving that idolatry. So it's showing you an example. It's trying to call you out to make you realize this is a problem. You're really being counterproductive here by teaching this guy. It's not the derech to go and just try to teach everybody Torah. It's not going to work. On the contrary, you're not being mechabed the Torah, you're hurting the Torah. Right, it's just like the guy who's throwing the rock at Markolis. It's a terrible thing, and it ends up to destroy the Torah. Right, you destroy the Torah. Fine. So now the question is like this: is now we have to act to our Gemara. So our Gemara says that if Talmud kills Bishogeg, he goes to Galus, and his Rebbe goes with him. Okay, which is a strange thing. It says why. Because it says, Yehu Yanis al-Achasayramayel v'chai, he runs one of these cities and lives. So you see, he gives life. What's life? Life is Torah. You gotta give him Torah. What kind of life is he gonna give me? And I can give him Torah. Give him Torah. So the Gemara then says, so we have to explain that. It's a strange halach. But then the Gemara says, we have to explain a few problems. First of all, what sounds not fair to the Rebbe? What did the Rebbe do? It's Talmud's fault. I mean, look, it's very nice, you want to give him a chai, but you know, you make a rabbi go. And what about the other talmidim? Are you going to worry about them? We don't know about that. What about them? And then also, Shlomo had a good question yesterday, is that the whole idea is you're not supposed to teach him Torah, because he's Talmud Sheinu Hagon. So now what are you going to do? Now you're going to go to Galus and teach him Torah? Why is the rabbi going there? What's he going to do, teach him Torah? But you're not supposed to be learning Torah. Right? So the whole thing sounds, right? So you shouldn't teach Talmud Sheinu, right? Shouldn't teach, fine. That's hard to understand altogether. If the guy's really a Rasha and you're saying he's a bad guy, maybe he kills a Bishogeg, so then why is the Rebbe going into Galus? So that is only makes sense. That's only a question combined with the next thing, which is the Gemara says that a Rebbe shouldn't teach Talmud Sheinu Hagon, right? As you see from here, the Gemara says, Rebbe goes to Galus, so Mikan, that you shouldn't teach Talmud Sheinu Hagon. Here you see, you shouldn't teach Talmud Sheinu Hagon, because maybe he's going to kill the Shogeg. He's going to kill, because the bad guys kill the Shogeg. Gemara says, killing the Shogeg is usually by Rishon. So there's a good chance he's going to kill the Shogeg, and then you're going to go to Galus. So don't teach Talmud Sheinu Hagon, because then you're going to end up going to Galus. So that's my question, is that, what are you going to say? If Talmud Sheinu Hagon, the Rebbe shouldn't go to Galus with him, because Talmud Sheinu Hagon shouldn't be learning Torah in the first place. So now what's he going to send his Rebbe there to teach him Torah, but he's not supposed to be learning Torah? Right? And the main question, or at least the most direct question on the thing, is that it's hard to understand. This is why you shouldn't teach the Torah to Talmud Sheinu Hagon, because maybe you're going to end up in Galus. Mikan, from here you see you shouldn't teach Tamar Shein Hagan. I thought you shouldn't teach Tamar Shein Hagan because it's a bad thing to teach Tamar Shein Hagan. Intrinsically, you're corrupting the Torah. You're leading to you're giving kavod to Uxil, and that's not right. So it's funny for this Gemara to say, from here you see, don't teach Tamar Shein Hagan Torah. What happened to the intrinsic problem of teaching Tamar Shein Hagan? So maybe we could just try to answer that first, because that's kind of where directly related to, you know, what we were doing yesterday. Let's try to start something from Pshat. Just it's simpler. A little simpler than this approach. Which is that just means play, in a certain sense I'm saying play Pshat in the Gemara. The saying is don't teach Tom Shane Hagan because you may end up going to Galus. And it stinks to be in Galus. And this is something you gotta like look at the consequences of your action. You know, the question is, that's just plain Pshat in the Gemara, right? Simple Pshat. Only question is, we have a question, is that this is a bad thing. It's a bad thing intrinsically. So what do you have to tell me? Don't do it, because maybe you can go to Gala and say, don't do it, because it's a bad thing. See, well, maybe it comes down to the nature of this chait, which is that this is a chait, which is very easy to violate. Very, in a certain sense, seductive, and easy for a Talmud Chacham to violate. Because it's like the, you know, throwing the rock at Marcolus, which is that you feel like you're doing a good thing. You feel like you're destroying Marcolus. You feel like you're spreading Torah. You're being Marbitz Torah. You're teaching people Torah. Right? You're adding to the Kabbalah Torah. Now, in truth, you're not. In truth, it really is counterproductive. But it feels like you are. Emotionally, it feels like you are. And it's a kind of chait that a person is not going to feel guilty about. A lot of times we avoid chait because we have certain feelings of guilt or whatever which stop us. This is a chait which is, you feel very religious by doing it. And therefore it's like a dangerous chait. And that's why Chazal are very strong about telling you, it's like throwing away my colas, you go to Gehenim. It's like, it's bad, but not only is it bad, it's easy to fall into. Because of the fact that it's like kind of slips under the radar, because you don't feel bad about it. On the contrary, you feel like you're involved in supporting the Torah. So it could be what this Gemara is trying to do is to show you. And when it comes to that kind of a chait, it's valuable to show a person negative consequences that he could relate to emotionally. Let's say, listen, if you teach the Torah, you may end up in Galus. Just look what's going to happen. This is a fact, is that a bad guys do kill a shogeg and they end up in Galus, and this is the halacha, you end up going to Galus. So you got to think twice about it. It's like it's a word of warning. Now it sounds superficial. You're right, this isn't the real reason you shouldn't do it. The real reason you shouldn't do it is because of the other Gemara, because of giving the Ksil Kavo, destroying the Torah, all that. But this is talking to your emotions. You tell a person like Musar, if you tell a person not to do a chait, you could talk to a person on an objective philosophical level, but then you could talk to a person on the level of his emotions. Don't do a chait because you're going to be frustrated. After all, you can do this chait, then you're going to be frustrated, you're going to be miserable, you're going to feel guilty, you're going to do this. Is that why you shouldn't do it? No, that's not why you shouldn't do it. But that's a way to talk to somebody. You have to be realistic and realize the challenges involved in certain chatam, and you have to be able to point out to somebody there are other negative consequences to chayit, other than the lishma types of things. This is another further point. So mikan, you should see from here, when you come to this Gemara, and you see that if you teach Tamashe, if the guy kills you, you end up going in Galus, they took it as an opportunity to underscore to the Rabbeim of the world, watch out, remember this Isser. You want to end up in Galus? Be careful. It's like a further opportunity to show a person in a way that's he can relate to on his emotional level as a reason why he shouldn't go to Galus. So he shouldn't teach Talmud Shein Hagan. He doesn't want to go to Galus, and he sees this halacha. He says, "Whoa! Give a guy a double take." And he sees this halacha. Who am I teaching? It's a good point. I don't really want to go to Galus. This is trying my whole life. I'm going to be in Galus studying, teaching this guy. So, but I'm saying it's not, there's a more primary reason, not a personal reason why you shouldn't teach him because of the Torah. But sometimes on an emotional level, when it comes to a chait, which you suspect his emotions will get an upper hand and will miss it, it won't have the normal emotional pause that normally a vera does, so you want to give him a different emotional pause, which is, you may end up in galus if you do this. It would be almost as if you'd say to a guy like Asra. Who's Asra? The guy's gonna about to kill somebody, and you say, "Don't kill him, because if you kill him, then you're gonna be chayav misa. Bezdin is gonna kill you." You say, "Really? Is that the reason why you shouldn't kill? Because if you kill, then you're gonna be killed." It's a lot, but shouldn't you explain to him the ideas why killing is wrong and give him a shear and whatever? Why that's why you're giving him a warning, throwing your own ish in his face? The answer is of course the right thing to do is teach him ideas. But in a guy, when he's about to do a crime, he's not in the mindset to teach him ideas. And there's a negative consequence. There are negative consequences of chait other than the fact that it's philosophically corrupt. You're going to be killed by a bastard, so you better watch out. And that could stop him. So there's an idea, there's two different levels which you could talk to a person before he does a chait. You could talk on the high ground, the highest philosophical explanation of why you shouldn't teach Talmud Sheinu Agon. But you know that doesn't talk to a person's emotions. That's something you have to appreciate with your mind. But your emotions, you still feel like a big tzaddik when you teach Torah, no matter who you teach Torah to. And therefore, you have to, Chazal saw a need to underscore, to talk to a person's emotions when it comes to this chait. And there's telling you, it's like throwing a rock at my kolos. I think it's, not saying this actually about the Zara, but it's striking. You hear it, you say, whoa. Better stop and think about this. It's not just, this is no small thing. It's you go to Ganem. Whoa, this is serious. So you may end up in Galus. I'm saying it's like when the way Chazal talk about the chait, given that it's so seductive and it lends itself to to this type of abuse, lends itself to the person violating it, is they have to talk in a way which is going to hit you on an emotional level. I think a person, it's part of avoiding chait. Two parts in avoiding chait. There's an intellectual idea, but then there's thinking of secondary consequences that the chait may lead you towards. It's also part of avoiding chait. My main point is this is not the primary source of why you shouldn't teach Talmud Sheinu Agon, the other Gemaras. This is a secondary.
A secondary because it's secondary that he have to go to Galus?
Yes. Well, it's secondary that's not really what's bad about it. That's a personal reason. Why shouldn't you teach him Torah? Because you personally may go to Galus. That's true, but that's small. Bigger is Torah will destroy the Torah. But a person is moved by his emotions, what hits him. So since this is an area, chait, which a person may not appreciate, he may not be moved, he may want to teach Torah, and he may trip on this chait. So Chazal are pointing to him to the personal, emotional reason why he wouldn't want to do this thing. They're trying to underscore to him, don't teach him Torah because you may end up in Galus. Ooh, that's now you're talking to my emotions. You want to talk to my mind? So explain to them the idea. The Gemara in Chulin explains to them the idea, explains that. But at the same time, certain ideas, even after you understand, you still feel like emotionally difficult to do. Certain mitzvahs are like that. Certain mitzvahs just don't make you feel good emotionally. For instance, like that case of Shaul. Shaul killing Agag. That was his mitzvah to kill Agag. Shmuel did it. Agag Shaul couldn't do it. He had Rachma. Now, if you don't feel like a very big tzaddik when you slice a guy in half. But on the contrary, that was because Shaul couldn't do that, he lost the kingdom. So sometimes a certain chataim don't exactly sit properly with your emotions, but we don't hold this by going with your emotions, we hold by following the truth. So there's certain times when it's important to underscore like a chait, which is emotionally feels like a big mitzvah you're doing. I'm teaching Torah, teaching everybody Torah, big arbatzos Torah, a person feels very good about himself. There's also an important need to make a point to the fact that this is bad. And to help a person not do that. It's true, you go to Gehenim is bad, but now this is showing you something in this world. You may go to Galus. In this life, in this world. It's not like it's a further point. In other words, it's another point. In this area, this type of a thing, it's not like you gave one good thing and that's it. This is like something a person could relate to on a concrete emotional level. You may end up in Galus. This is a phenomenon. People who do this state, bad guys end up killing Shogeg, they end up in Galus. There's such a thing as Galus. You may end up in Galus. So now I think we have to do is... now I think we have to figure out what's the idea of going to Galus altogether. Why do you have to go to Galus? Why do you have to go to Galus? What's that whole thing? I think we have to understand. What's the whole thing of you going to Galus? Right? After all, you didn't kill the shogeg. You killed the shogeg.
It's like
basic halacha. Just define the basic halacha is Uyans Achal Bachai does not just mean it's not just shelter. It's not just like jail. You know, you just save him. It's the idea is this guy's problem is not just seems to be it's interesting. His problem is not just that he needs shelter, but he needs a life. Right? In other words, you're throwing him out of his world, out of his life, and you have to give him, you're relocating him and giving him a new life. So it's saying is part of his life is not just his food and his protection and his safety, but his Torah. It's part of life. That's what the Gemara says. The life of that Torah is like death. That's the life of a person. So the din of Arayin Miklat is not just a matter of removing the threat of the Gol Adam, but it's to create the positive state of Vachai. And Vachai, that's what it says, you have to give him, make sure there's water there, and make sure that there's a population there in case there's enemy, right? There's all kinds of halachos, Vachai, it's not just give him safety, it's give him a new life, you're relocating, it's like a witness protection program, so to speak, you're giving him life. So now part of what you have to give him is the ultimate in life, is Torah. What's a life without Torah? I mean, we don't just hold, just give him protection. As long as he's safe, that's okay. You know, it's like you threw a guy in jail. Look, as long as you're not gonna kill him. Yeah, but you're destroying the guy's life. He's just sitting in jail for his whole life, and it's a terrible life, and right? So that's not the thing, just to save him. Just to save him from the Goldam, throw him into Galus, save him so the Goldam can't kill him, and as he has to be miserable sitting there all day long without any Torah, without just wasting away his days in the Galus. That's not the end of Galus. On the fact, the contrary, Galus is supposed to be a mechaper, and the mechaper is that you're supposed to be leading him on a path of tshuva and giving him real chayas, let him break away from his chayt. So the part of the thing is on the contrary, you're supposed to give him a good life, and a good life is a life which has Torah. So the thing is that's the mitzvah on Klal Yisrael, is to have Arayin Miklat and to protect the Ratzeiach v'Shgagah. Now, in order to do that can't happen without his Rebbe. That can't happen without his Rebbe. So the Rebbe's not going because the Rebbe's Chayiv Galus. The Rebbe didn't kill the Shogeg. The Talmud killed the Shogeg. It's almost like the Rebbe is almost like an accident in the Galus of the Talmud. It's like he's like a Chafza, so to speak. He's a Gavra of Galus. The Chayiv Galus is really a Chayiv on the Talmud. But Golas is a place where we give him Chayim. And it's simply, you can't do Golas if you don't have a Rebbe there. So it's like Migalan Rabo Imo. So you throw the Rebbe and Golas with him. It's like that's part of the very definition of what Golas is. It's a place where you give him Chayim, reforming him, giving him the opportunity for tshuva, giving him a new life where he's going to be able to be removed from his other Chayid, and now he's going to set up a new life. So it has to have Torah. And the Torah was Torah without a Rebbe. In fact, it could be that's part of the answer of, you shouldn't be teaching him Torah.
Yeah.
Then you shouldn't be teaching him Torah. What are you supposed to do? You're supposed to be reforming him. Right? That's the idea. But this is the path of reforming him. So you're his Rebbe, and now you'll be reforming him, and then you'll be teaching him Torah. It could be your first part of teaching him Torah is going to be, reforming him. But now he's on a path of tshuva. So in other words, you shouldn't have been teaching him in the first place, but once he's on this path, now you're going to be his rabbi, and he'll be bring him to Derech Tova, and then you'll teach him Torah. The Mark says, you're not going to go there and just to walk into Arayin Miklat and teach him Bava Kamma. You'll teach him, and you'll help him in his process of tshuva and Arayin Miklat, which is what tshuva and Miklat's about. And then you'll do that, and hopefully, as he progresses in his tshuva and he goes on to Derech Tova, which is what Arayin Miklat's all about, then you'll teach him Torah.
That's the proof.
You're
supposed to be makarib a guy.
Yes, you're supposed to be makarib.
Right.
Exactly, right. The problem wasn't that you weren't supposed to hang out with him. You're not supposed to throw him out into the garbage and say, forget about it, we hate you guys. No, you're supposed to be makarib him. The Rambam says, bring him on the proper derech. It just means you're not supposed to bring him in the base medrash, because he's not shayach to be one of the talmidim in the base medrash. But now he's in Arayin Miklat, and he's reforming, and he's now so you're going to work on that, and then his Rebbe will be with him, and you'll help teach him, you'll give him Chachma, you'll show him the Chachma of the Torah, you'll bring him on a good path, which is what Arayin Miklat is meant to do, and then you'll reform him. So it still doesn't quite address the problem. This is, I think, a good definition. So we define it as this is what Vachai, that's the Limud. that you have to give him b'chai, chiyas. Chiyas means you have to give him water, you have to give him bread, you have to make sure there's streets around. In theory, you have to let him have animals to slaughter, hunting tools. That's what all this previous figure was about. So what do you say? You don't give him Torah? We don't hold by that type of chayim. Torah is a part of chayim. It's still bothersome. Is like, it just seems wrong in terms of the Rebbe. You know? Like, you could just say, look, this is all. But, like, what, like, in terms of, what's the sense in terms of the Rebbe? It just seems like, it sounds like a nice theoretical halacha, but when you actually, like, in terms of the definition of what Ari Miklat is, but when you talk about it on a practical level, it just seems so, like, unfair to the Rebbe, unfair to the other students, and, like, it just doesn't seem to be, I don't know, it's almost like it would be like a halacha that, a good halacha, which couldn't practically work out because of, you know. But it doesn't seem like there's any limitation. So I think, like, it's two levels. I mean, one is, what about the Rabbi? What about his life? What about all of his, you know, he has Bengals now because of that?
That's probably a big deal. I mean, he probably has a job or whatever.
Yeah, everything. His whole life, his fans, family, his yeshivas, whatever. I mean, to pick up and go to Galus, it's an onesh. I mean, it is an onesh to the other guy. So now with the Rabbi, so we're just saying, halachically, the Rabbi is just part of the other guy's onesh. Yeah, but by one is he's going to suffer the onesh the same as the other guy, you know? So it's kind of like, although it sounds like a nice idea theoretically, I mean, it's almost like you're treating the Rebbe as a chavta, and the Rebbe is a person, and he's becoming like a slave to the, you know. I mean, for one thing, you see, Klal Yisrael is chayiv to ensure Ari Miklat. Look, I'm chayiv to build the Rebbe, someone's chayiv to build Ari Miklat, so you see, it is a chayiv on Klal Yisrael, Ari Miklat. Klal Yisrael is mechayiv to make sure there's Ari Miklat. Now, you could say this is part of the chayiv of Ari Miklat, is to make sure that it functions properly. That means you have to teach him. So the Rebbe's chayiv. It just still, I don't know, something's still bothersome about it, you know? So it would be nice if we could. And it could be somehow related to his chait. He shouldn't be teaching this guy in the first place. Maybe that somehow helps.
It doesn't say that anywhere.
Well, it does say, Mikan, they shouldn't teach Talmud Shein Hagan because he'll end up going to Galus.
It says he, I mean, the reason he goes is for the guy.
Yes, I know, but I'm just saying, I'm asking, but now there's a second, I know, but there's a secondary question, is it not fair to the Rabbi? So I'm saying maybe a secondary answer would be, well, it's not, the Rebbe's not all innocent here, because the Rebbe shouldn't have gotten involved in this guy in the first place.
But it's not just the Rebbe, it's the Talmidim too.
No, that's if the Rebbe goes kills.
Yeah?
That's the way the Rama has it, the Gemara has it. I mean, you may deduce that, but the Gemara says if the Talmud kills, his Rebbe goes with him. If a Rebbe kills, the whole yeshiva goes. It doesn't say if a Talmud kills, the whole yeshiva has to go.
Yeah, it's not really clear from the Gemara.
Yeah, the Rama has it the same way as the Gemara. I mean, the Gemara, you may think, Lav Dafka. Seems like by the Talmud, the Talmud brings his Rebbe with him. The Rebbe has the whole yeshiva, or all his Talmud.
Isn't that halacha that if the Rebbe moves, so you have to follow him or something?
I don't think there's a halacha like that. Not that I know of. So I guess we have to see if we can, if we could do something about this, and then see if there's, if we could take out that other halacha about the Rebbe, that his whole yeshiva goes with him, you know? See if we can say something about that.